You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, May 10th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Mr. Jonah Booker in just a moment. Jay Book and I are going to do a deep dive on the Buckeyes' defensive backs. It's always great having Jay Book on the show no matter what, but I mean, he was a college DB himself at Ohio University. For those that don't know, I'm sure many of you already know that. And on what is a loaded roster, you could argue between, I think, defensive line and defensive back, what is the most loaded position group on this Ohio State team. Wide receiver would be in the discussion too, but I think if you look at just depth and talent, combine the two, I think D-line and DB are the two. Jay Book and I looked at the D-line last week. Now we're going to look at the DBs today. Before we do that, I want to let you guys know about Factor Meals and a great deal you guys can get. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Make your day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. That's awesome. Filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Yeah, I'll take all of that. Keep the kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in just 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50 and use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code bucknuts50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor Meals, got to love it. Great deal there, too. Here, let's bring in a great guy, my man, Jonah Booker. Great to see you, as always, on a Friday, my friend. Man, I tell you what, it's hard to pick against that 1996 secondary for Ohio State or the 2016 secondary for Ohio State. But this one might take the cake, as we've talked about before. And I don't say it lightly, but this is arguably the best Ohio State secondary I've seen on paper. They need to prove it, but on paper, this could be the best.
Right. I mean, when you say they prove it, but they were darn good last year, Dave. So the expectations are that a unit that was extremely well coached last year, performed at a high level, they're going to be even better with the addition of Layton Ransom coming back from injury and Caleb Downs. I think with those two on your back end, that right there is going to sure up that safety position, but they are absolutely loaded. I love the cornerback position, Dave. I think they can probably play right now easily 4-5 guys and feel really comfortable with it. I mean, when you look at it, you got Jordan Hancock as your starting nickelback, and he could probably start at corner for any school in America. That's a luxury. You look back at the 2019 defense, Dave. One of the reasons they were so good was Sean Wade in that slot under Jeff Hafley. Sean Wade played extremely well. He was able to take out some of those slot guys. I think you're going to get that with Jordan Hancock. And then I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see some guys rotate in there. I mean, you look at Jermaine Matthews, freshman. What did Jermaine officially make freshman All-American, or was he like PFS, like top graded freshman or something like that?
I think it was the latter. Like, I don't think he got like AP freshman All-American or anything like that. I don't think, but I do believe he got, he was graded really high by PFF. Had a big success. Dude, when Jermaine Matthews, I was going to say, I've said this before, but when Jermaine Matthews is your number four corner, boy, business is good.
Right.
As a sophomore, no, it's not like he's a true freshman. As a sophomore, like, he's ready. He could start right now and they would be perfectly fine if he was one of their outside corners, but you got a couple of studs out there in Burke and Igbinosin. I love it, man. I get excited just talking about it.
Yeah, that's a testament to Jermaine Matthews' high school coaching as well, the program that he come from, because he came in ready. I think Ohio State evaluated him. The recruiting rankings weren't up to where they needed to be as far as his evaluation. But tip of the cap to his high school coaches, because they were able to get him into Ohio State and have him ready to go off bat. And then Coach Walt continued to develop him. And then you look at a guy that a lot of people thought when the transfer portal opened up, Calvin Simpson Hunt was a name to keep on the radar as a potential guy who could probably start somewhere if he transferred out, probably would have been offered a pretty big NIL deal. But he decided to stay. He's continued to develop. I like what I saw from him in the spring. There were times where, he got dunked on by Jeremiah Smith, but everybody did that as far as the defensive backs. But you know what? He kept battling. He kept fighting, and he kept scratching. And he is a guy that I think has an opportunity to see the field, because you look at this schedule, Dave, early on, they should be rocking people up 30-25 in the fourth quarter. There shouldn't be a reason why guys like Calvin Simpson Hunt and Jaden Bonsu and Jermaine Matthews, those type of really younger guys that you're trying to develop for later on down the season, shouldn't be a reason why all of those guys are not getting adequate playing time. And we do got to touch on something on Coach Walt, the chat saying, Tim Walton. And we have to touch on what Gene Smith said about him as well.
Go for it. What Gene Smith say about him?
Oh, well, Gene was talking about, did a recent interview, and Gene was talking about how Ohio State now has six coaches making $1 million. And the thing that he, talked about was Coach Walton. Gene said the NFL is coming hard and aggressive for Tim Walton. They are trying to poach him to get him back to the NFL. And Gene said, typically, when he's negotiating salaries, he would try to negotiate with all of these coaches and stuff to see if he can get them at a lower amount, try to get a discount or something like that. Gene was just like, nope, it's too valuable to the program. We don't need to lose Tim Walton. So they pretty much just gave him, whatever he wanted to make sure that he was happy. I thought that was fascinating. Also, Dave, you and I talked about numerous times how Gene likes to penny pinch. He even admitted in an interview he likes to, negotiate down and penny pinch and stuff. But he went directly to the office of the president to go make sure that he got Tim Walton's contract approved to say, whatever you need to stay here, we got you, because the NFL is coming extremely hard at him.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that long ago where I was, I've been covering the team for so long. I guess it has been. It's been more than a decade where Gene would come out and just flat out saying, actions spoke louder than the words, so he didn't need to say it, but he would flat out come out and say, we're not going to get in the business of paying assistant coaches $1 million a year. Right. Now they've done a complete 180. I mean, they're paying, both coordinators are making $2 million or more. Of course, Chip Kelly took a $4 million pay cut to make that $2 million, but Knowles is making over $2 million now. You got a bunch of guys making, I mean, frankly, if Justin Fry's making $1.3 million, Tim Walton should be making definitely way more than that, but I digress. I'm glad they did whatever it took to keep Tim Walton. You got to keep that guy around.
Right. About it. And then, Dave, you start looking at guys like Aaron Scott, with his 6'2 frame, with his ability to get in and out of his breaks, he's going to be a high-end player. Did they ever announce what the issue was with Bryce West, like his injury?
They didn't get specific, but they said multiple times that it was not serious, and they thought he'd be ready for summer conditioning and certainly fall camp. But, I mean, they're so damn deep there. I mean, I don't know if you even need to – he's so talented. I mean, I don't know if you need to redshirt him, but, it's going to be like Calvin Simpson Hunt last year. It's like he was really good as a true freshman, but, there was just no room for playing time, but he still didn't redshirt. So maybe use him on special teams, get him out there in blowouts. Yeah, man. So I'm going to ask you about this. We'll get to the safeties that are visiting this weekend, the portal, the two guys in the portal. One seems like – they both seem like long shots to me, especially the kid that's going from Michigan State. So there's a lot of talk. Well, Ohio State only has six scholarship safeties, really five until Roker gets here, but they're going to have six scholarship safeties. Yeah, and then people will say, yeah, they start three safeties and they only have six scholarship safeties. But they really had a sea change last year, as you mentioned earlier. They're now using, instead of using like a safety as the slot you know, slot defensive back. They're now using corners there almost exclusively. I mean, Hancock's there, right? And Hancock was great last year, as you were saying, in that role. And your Sean Wade example is great. If you have somebody that can lock down the slot, the outside corners can do their thing like Okuda that year, you're in good business then. But now they're using corners there. Jermaine Matthews rep there a lot in the spring. I love that because they know they need him to play outside corner. They know he can do that. Get him some reps there at the slot. Look good there doing it too. And Lorenzo Styles Jr. is another one. So they're really using corners as safety. So you don't need as many safeties, but they obviously feel like they need at least one more safety. That's why they're going after some in the portal. But just your thoughts on some of the, you know, what they're doing at slot safety.
Yeah, some of the they definitely probably need to get one more safety. You just look at the attrition from the transfer portal guys departing for graduation. So I think they definitely need to get one more. I will say this: the change of moving a corner to the slot is something that I'm a big fan of, Dave. I remember, what was it? Maybe 2 years ago. I mean, you and I have been doing this show for so long, but. And we've talked so much about ball that we talked about the three safety defense. And I didn't like in the Jim Knowles scheme, the safeties being down there in the slot because some guys just aren't built for that. In order to be able to flip your hips, turn and run with a wide receiver, it takes a certain skill set to be able to do that. Now, if you can do it as a safety, you're probably going to be making a lot of money in the NFL. But at the collegiate level, having three safeties, especially on third and 13, third and 10, give me a third corner on the field who's going to give me a much better chance of breaking up a pass or having tight coverage on someone. They made that change, and I'm not saying this because we griped about it, Dave, but
I'm giving you credit.
No. They looked at their personnel, and they saw it was like, hey, we have to find a way to get Hancock. We have to find a way to get Jermaine Matthews on the field. And those guys are our best cover guys. If it's third and 10, we got to get off the field to get the offense the ball back. You need to have your best cover guys out there on the field. And that is an adjustment that Jim Knowles has done. He is willing to sacrifice support in the run game for better coverage on the back end. Because I think the game has changed. When he was at Oklahoma State, you run the three safety look. You have a safety down there in the slot. I think that was also part of because this is the personnel, the best personnel that I have. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to make it work with the guys and my scheme. Now that he goes to Ohio State, you have five or six guys that are cornerbacks that can play at any given time. Get them on the field and have them playing in that slot. Now, the one thing that people worry about with the safety is we saw Jordan Hancock, you know, rotate back there. He can do it. He's kind of that hybrid. And Jordan Hancock's going to make himself a lot of money because what he's doing is he's putting game film on tape for the NFL to show I'm versatile. I can play inside. I can play outside. If you need me to play on the back end as safety, I can do that too. So that's why I think Jordan Hancock is one of the key to this defense that can really make it run because of his versatility.
I do want to, because Tim Walton deserves a ton of credit, and we've given him a ton of credit, and he deserves every ounce of credit. I do want to give, because I've blasted him a lot because he was terrible as a defensive coordinator, Kerry Combs. Kerry Combs is the one that recruited Denzel Burke and Jordan Hancock.
Right.
He got both those studs here. And so Kerry was always – I tell you what's crazy. I always said the best thing about Kerry Combs – I know I'm not breaking news here to anybody – was that he was a really good recruiter.
Yeah.
Dare I say Tim Walton's got him beat there too. I mean, Tim Walton's like taking what Kerry Combs did and it puts it on steroids. And Kerry Combs was a hell of a good recruiter.
Kerry Combs was a heck of a recruiter, Dave. And one thing that made Kerry Combs really good, he was a really good talent evaluator. Denzel Burke came from Saguaro, which is about 2 miles from my house here in Scottsdale. And Saguaro's a powerhouse out here. Very well coached, ton of resources, you know, state champ after, you know, battling for state championship after state championship. When Denzel Burke was coming out, he was kind of a two-way player. A lot of schools didn't know if he was going to be a wide receiver, But Kerry Combs and the Ohio State staff saw him as a defensive back. Keep in mind, when he showed up as a true freshman, he was getting rave reviews from a lot of the top dogs in the program at the time, saying Denzel Burke. That was a testament because he came in so fundamentally sound as a cornerback, and that's a rarity because typically kids that are two-way players in high school, I mean, a lot of kids are two-way players, but you're starting to see more kids specialize on one side of the ball. He didn't do that necessarily, but his fundamentals were so sound coming in out of Saguaro that he was able to play as a true freshman. And now you hand that baton off to Coach Walt. Coach Walt is taking their game to the next level. He's now taking it to say, hey, we're going to not only develop you here at Ohio State, but we're going to have you so crisp, so fundamentally sound that once that NFL draft comes around and you're eligible, all of you guys are going, because Denzel Burke's probably going to be going in the first round. Davison Igbinosun, I think if he has a really good year, his stock is going to continue to go up because yes. Davison is a battler, man. Like, not only does he bring the swag, not only does he bring that attitude to the defensive back room, but you start to see his game get better and better and better. If he can get his hands together, get him on a jugs machine in the offseason, so once that football hits his hands, he can hold on to it. And then you look at Hancock. Hancock's going to be right up there for a top 2 to 3 round pick. And that's a testament to where they're at. And then it's just going to continue to be a full cycle because you look at Naheem coming in, and then you look like Devin Sanchez coming in right there, and Blake Woodby out of Baltimore that's coming in right behind them. And then you look at the state of Ohio in the high school ranks, it's loaded again with top defensive backs with the upcoming classes. So Ohio State's sitting extremely well when it comes to the cornerback position. And I'll tie it back into what we're talking about with Gene Smith. This is why you have to pay whatever you need to pay to keep Tim Walton here, because the talent is going to be absolutely loaded in that room. But at the same time, the development is going to be off the charts right now, too. Matt Guerrera, you know, Leighton Ransom went on the Bobby Carpenter podcast, and he gave a shout out to Matty G, the safeties coach, and said that was him coming back was a big reason why he decided to come back to Ohio State for his senior year, is because his relationship with Matt G. And he, Leighton Ransom said he was one of the smartest coaches that he's ever been around. And he didn't take any shots at Perry. He said Perry, he loved Perry, but when it comes to knowledge of the game on the back end, Leighton Ransom said Matt Guerrero is one of second to none when it comes to understanding the Jim Knowles defense. And I know a lot of people are going to look at that hire and say, that's a Jim Knowles guy. You know, what has he done to earn the position at Ohio State as a safety coach? I think this is going to have to be a situation where you're going to have to trust Jim Knowles, because that's his guy that really understands it. And then once Leighton Ransom put his stamp on it and said, that's my guy, I have to take notice, because if the players are saying, hey, this coach is the real deal, they're not going to, you know, lie on somebody's podcast.
I'm really glad you brought up Matt Guerrero. I'm very impressed with him. I got a chance to meet him. I didn't get a chance to meet him personally when he was here a couple years ago as an analyst, but first time they brought him out for interviews when he came back when he was hired as safeties coach. Last year, for those that don't know, he was the co-defensive coordinator at Indiana, but he called the play. He was really the DC at Indiana last year. Only 34 years old, very impressive, very impressive. And, who cares what I think? When Leighton Ransom is saying that's a big reason I came back, I mean, that's huge right there. And yeah, as you mentioned, he's Knowles' guy. I'm glad you mentioned Guerrero. He's an impressive guy. I mean, Tim Walton's the man. Guerrero is definitely a young coach on the rise. Again, just 34 years old and already has an impressive resume. So, man, this is an all-star coaching staff. All right, I want to ask you about this before. We'll finish the show talking about offensive line recruiting, but I do want to ask you about these two safeties they're bringing in from the portal this weekend on official visits. You have the kid from Michigan State is Jaden Mangum. Now, he's also going to be – he's from the state of Michigan. He's going to be visiting the Michigan Wolverines, or maybe he already has. And Michigan needs a starting safety. Rod Moore went down. They're depleted back there. You think Ohio State's thin? Oh, boy. I mean, Michigan would kill to have Ohio State safety, to say the least. Anybody would, because you have Caleb Downs and all these studs. So Jaden Mangum seems like a long shot to me. I want to get your thoughts on that, the kid from Michigan State. I'm intrigued by the Cameron Broussard young man from Sacramento State. But again, Washington, he's visited them. He likes Washington a lot. They've offered him. They need a starter. Michigan's in on him. Again, Michigan needs a starter. Ohio State needs depth at safeties. I don't know. I'm glad they're kicking the tires on these kids, but it seems like long shots to me. What do you think?
I think it's long shots, Dave, because these kids are going to try to go to a school that they probably can play now. Now, we're in the NIL era, Dave, so you never know. You know, the foundation might come to the table and say, boom, here's some money for you. Come play, get developed, and we're going to make sure you're taken care of. But in actual reality, Dave, I think it's going to be a situation to where these guys are probably going to go to somewhere where they can play right now. They lost, Jahad Carter. They lost who else? Did they lose somebody else to the portal, Dave?
Cedric Hawkins.
Yeah, that's right. They lost Cedric Hawkins, and then you lost an upperclassman to the NFL. But I will say this, though. Jaden Bomsu, I think he's going to be an absolute stud. I think they got to get Malik Harford back. I think he's going to be, you know, really good once he gets back healthy. But they definitely probably need one more guy.
One more guy. I agree. I mean, they obviously feel that way. They're bringing in two guys from the portal who are probably long shots. They're definitely feel like they need another guy. But again, they have corners that can play safety if need. Worst case, well, you could probably put Calvin Simpson-Hunt back there if you needed a free safety. Mm-hmm. And again, instead of it's the slot safety, now it's really slot corner. So anyway, all right. Again, these burgers from Omaha Steaks are fantastic. I'm going to tell you guys about them again. Nothing says summer like the taste of juicy, tender burgers grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouthwatering steak burgers, 4 each of their Pure Ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Omaha Steaks Pure Ground burgers deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. And right now you can experience the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Get ready for grilling season with the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. That's 20 mouth-watering Pure Ground burgers for just $79.99. All right, O-line recruiting, my friend. Real quick, before I mention that, I do want to have a little public service announcement, kind of joking. Tywon Malone, the defensive tackle that transferred in from Ole Miss last year, has 2 years of eligibility left. Some of you might think, well, I knew that, right? I mean, he redshirted that first year at Ole Miss. Well, there was some confusion because he did play, a game or two, which shouldn't count as a season. But Ohio State had been listing him as only having 1 year left. And then they even updated the roster and still had him listed. It was only 1 year of eligibility left. I checked with Jerry Emig. Jerry checked with compliance. Tywon Malone has 2 years of eligibility left. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Woohoo! All right. Moving right along. O-line recruiting. Let's start with right at the top, man. I mean, David Sanders Jr. is very interested in Ohio State. I think it helps that Clemson is, you know, stocked down on Clemson. I think it helps that Paris Johnson Jr. is like his idol, so to speak. It helps that the great Monica Daniels is helping recruiting. It helps that Chip Kelly's here. We'll see if Justin Fry, if that helps or not. I don't know how to feel about that, Jonah. But
yeah.
Give me Jonah Booker's thoughts. What are your chances that we're going to see David Sanders Jr., the number one offensive tackle in the 2025 class here in Columbus?
With Justin Fry getting the very last visit of David Sanders after he just came off a surprise visit. If he doesn't land him, Dave, we riot. We're rioting in the streets. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. But this is a must-get right
protest.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah, like get it. Like, hey, if this kid wants $1 million at NIL to get you the number one tackle, a five-star who's going to be the anchor of your offensive line for years to come, then so be it. I'm pretty sure that when it comes to NIL talks, he will be taken care of. But with that being said, Dave, if you get him, Justin Fry with Carter Lowe, does that kind of silence a lot of the Justin Fry slander? Because that's been one of the biggest knocks, Dave, is you know, Justin Fry's inability to close elite tackles. If you get Carter Lowe out of Ohio and you get David Sanders, man, that's an elite tackle 1-2 combination that you're going to bring to the table. So I think that right there is going to be big. Ohio State, man, like they said in the chat, there's some smoke out there that David Sanders is potentially a quiet commit, though. But you get that last visit, Dave, you got to be able to hit it out the park. And the one thing that makes you feel good about the visit, the surprise visit, Dave, is it wasn't just like, oh, him and mom sliding up to Columbus or him and dad. He brought his entire family. He brought, the grandparents up to this visit. Once you start bringing grandparents up to the visit, Dave, you know it's serious. It's serious business there. You start rolling out the red carpet for Granny and Papa. Oh, man. You got to be able to close it, Dave. And I think Justin Fry, I have a feeling he's going to be able to. I mean, get the ball to the 1 yard line and let the foundation push it in for you. We're trying to do the tush push into the end zone with the NIL foundation and the war chest that they've been building up. We just need Justin Fry to get the ball to the one for the tush push.
I love it. I love that analogy. They'll get it done then. Brian and Carday will get it done, and all of the ladies and gents over there at the foundation who've been doing a great job. So yeah, I love that analogy. Get it close to the goal line. They'll push it over for the touchdown. I want to ask you about, I like this kid too. 4-star Jackson Lloyd was offered by Ohio State. Big boy already. 6'7", 295, listed as the number 16 offensive tackle in the country. Number 139 overall player in the country. Kid from California. Seems like, yeah, I mean, this is a legit possibility and not a long shot. Your thoughts on the Buckeyes offering Jackson Lloyd and the chances they're going to get him?
Yeah, I think it would be something that Ohio State is going to be right in the thick of it. I mean, maybe you call it arrogance or overconfidence, Dave, but the way this coaching staff is recruiting and the sale wins behind them when it comes to NIL, I feel like Ohio State has a puncher's chance pretty much for anybody that they really set their sights on. They got to be able to close. That's the main thing. But I will say this. If Justin Fry closes Sanders, Dave, that is a huge monkey off his back. That right there will have his confidence. It has to have his confidence going through the roof. So if you're able to land the biggest fish in the ocean, now you like, oh, we cooking with some grease. I'm feeling myself. Let's go out to Cali. Let's get us another lineman. Let's go start working on this next class of offensive linemen, because the state of Ohio is absolutely loaded with offensive linemen with this next class coming up. But yeah, you land Sanders, man. Whew. Now we talking. And you start looking at that 24/7 top 10, Dave. Of the top 10 players, you get Sanders. If Brian Hartline can mess around and flip to Corey Moore, you're talking about Ohio State landing 6 of the top 10 players in the 24/7 rankings. So when I say, hey, I might be a little arrogant about what Ohio State's recruiting, when you start talking about big boy recruiting like this and the NIL opportunities in the city of Columbus, and you're going to be competing for a national championship, everything that's going to be, you know, all the intangible stuff on top of the development, the opportunities for the NFL. These guys have so much ammo to go onto the recruiting trail and say, hey, this is what we were able to offer. Because you look at the SEC, Dave, what's the rule with the SEC is, hey, if you transfer out in the spring or something like that, you can only go, you can't go to the SEC schools. You have to set out. So what's the narrative been around the country? If you want to go compete for a national championship outside of the SEC, there's only about 3 teams that's going to be able to give you that opportunity. One is Ohio State. One is Oregon. You can probably, you know, Michigan, but that right there is a huge question mark considering what's coming down the pipeline with them as far as the attrition. We don't know if their coaching staff is even any good. Tony Alford can't recruit Ohio if his life saved him. and you probably, you know, look at, you know, USC, somebody else like that. But Ohio State's always going to be at the tip of the tongue when you're talking about outside of the SEC footprint. This is going to be one of the premier programs that's going to compete for a national championship year in and year out.
Another big guy they're going after on the offensive line is Micah DeBose. He's from Mobile, Alabama. I mean, it's going to be tough pulling him out of the South. He's looking at Florida, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, and Ohio State.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough.
Is he an outlier there?
That's going to be tough. You know, I mean, when you're recruiting against Georgia, though, Dave, recruiting against Georgia for offensive alignment is like recruiting against Ohio State for wide receivers. Like, I don't know how many big boys that Georgia can get. I mean, they signed an entire offensive line that's over 6'5", 330 pounds last cycle. Now they're trying to load up again. It's like, my goodness, how many offensive linemen do you guys need? They probably say the same thing about Ohio State when it comes to wide receivers. How many five-star wide receivers do you guys need? So just recruiting against Georgia, that's always going to be a battle. But as far as that kid, that's going to be extremely tough. Like, come on now, Dave. We just need Justin Fry to pick it up. We're asking for Sanders. Asking him going down to Alabama to pull a big floppy belly out of the South like that. That's a big ass, Dave.
He needs to get Sanders, and I'm with you. I'm confident he will. And he also even more importantly, needs to make sure this offensive line that he's coaching in 2024 is national championship caliber. Doesn't mean they have to be the strength of this team, but they certainly can't be a weakness when they play like the likes of Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, whoever they play in the postseason. You know, so he's got to get Sanders, and he's got to coach these guys up that he's got right now. Other than that, not really much on his plate, right? Land the best offensive tackle in the country who's from out of state, and then coach your guys up and win a national title. That's all we're asking for, right? Nothing big.
Right. Hey, what do you think about – I saw Ohio State legend LeCharles Bentley was out there working with Oregon. Would you like to see him at Ohio State? You know, he's kind of he was out there doing some work with Oregon yesterday in their offensive line. I wouldn't mind seeing LeCharles Bentley. Like, I'm not saying like he needs to replace Justin Fry, but I wouldn't mind seeing a technical guy like Bentley come into Columbus and helping out with the O-line. I think that would be fascinating.
I would love that. One of the best centers to ever come through here. Still amazing to me that he fell to the second round of the draft. One of the toughest guys too. I mean, I would absolutely love that. Do you remember? So it was, I think it was after we had the name change. We had the original Ohio State podcast, Front Row Radio. We called it, because we didn't even know what a podcast was, so we called it Internet Radio. Then we changed to the Bucknuts Morning 5, and I still think we were the only Ohio State podcast when we switched to the Bucknuts Morning 5 in 2013. I think we had the name change. We used to have LeCharles on Front Row Radio quite a bit. Do you remember that at all?
I remember. I remember him coming on, and he does really well with his – like, it's a testament to him that even back then, he had his O-line academy still going on. Like, he was just now getting it, you know, kind of off the grounds. And now he's really, like, taking it to the next level to where he's taking his show on the road, heading up to Eugene, Oregon. I was like, hey, man, those are – Oregon, they're the ops now since they're in the Big Ten. LeCharles, like, we need you in Columbus, man. We need you in Columbus helping out with the Ohio State offensive line. But, you know, just joking aside, kudos to him, man, for really building his business up to now that colleges are reaching out to him for his technical guidance.
Yeah, he started in his hometown of Cleveland with the O-line Academy, was there briefly, then moved to your neck of the woods, had the O-line Academy there, you know, and he has been doing that for a long time. I mean, to answer your question, I didn't mean to talk for 5 minutes about LeChuck, but to answer your question, I'd love for LeCharles to come here. I'd love it.
I saw that
in Oregon, like, man. If Oregon wasn't in the Big Ten, I would be like, I don't want him at Oregon. Now Oregon is like, you know, if you look at the odds, they're supposed to be the second best team in the Big Ten this year and a strong contender to win the national title.
Right. Yeah. Oregon, that matchup when Ohio State goes to Eugene, that's going to be the premier game of the football season besides the Ohio State Michigan. And I don't know what, you know, Georgia has a pretty tough schedule. You look at, you know, some of these schedules in the SEC, they're just absolutely brutal. But that Ohio State-Oregon game, that right there is probably going to be an early preview of a potential rematch in the Big Ten championship. Like, it's so crazy that the Big Ten, as far as the championship and everything, like, you can absolutely, like, run it back with a rematch, you know, with somebody. What do you think Penn State? Penn State's schedule is kind of favorable because they skip Oregon, they skip Michigan, they have Ohio State. Like, I can see Penn State potentially being a 10-win team because they usually handle themselves outside of Ohio State and Michigan within the conference. If you can get to 10 wins, Penn State might be right there on the cusp of playing for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, it seems like they'll be a typical Penn State team. They did lose a lot of talent to the NFL, but not a ton. They're always going to be talented. You just wonder about James Franklin as a game day coach, right? And then, they have a new offensive coordinator. I have to think he'll be an upgrade over Yursich. Bringing in Tom Allen as defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I thought that was a solid hire. We'll see if he's an upgrade, downgrade, or, you know, a net even. They'll be talented. And having to play there is what gives me trepidation for the Buckeyes. You know, if this game was in Columbus, I wouldn't worry about it. I think I'm not really high on Drew Aller. I think he's a hell of a nice kid. He's got a strong arm, but some of this doesn't add up.
That's the biggest question mark. But they do come over with the Kansas offensive coordinator who was cooking it up over there with Bean, their quarterback, and Jalen Daniels, their quarterback that got hurt halfway through the season. But they was putting up some numbers over in Kansas. I think he's going to have a talent upgrade at Penn State that's going to give them the opportunity to be a little bit more efficient. But Drew Aller's the biggest question mark, Dave. If he starts getting the yips in the big games again, then write them off. James Franklin's going to continue that moniker that he can't, you know, win the big game against Ohio State or some of the heavyweights. And I think it's going to be up to Drew Aller to really get out of that funk that he's been over the last couple years.
Outstanding stuff, as always, from Jonah Booker. Thank you very much, Jay Book. Thanks to all of you for tuning into the show. We appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. Don't forget Mother's Day on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Thanks again to Jay Book. Thanks to all of you. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.